I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA, Monday afternoon, and shenanigans are, well, they're in action as we speak up there on Capitol Square. It is absolutely disgusting. There's no other word for it. No other word for it that the Virginia Democrats are now undertaking efforts to, number one, undermine the will of we the people here in my beloved Commonwealth. And number two, trying to play really shady, underhanded games with an election that's just 8 days away. Let's start with the threat to you and to me. You and I chose a nonpartisan district drawing commission. It's just a couple of years old. We said we don't want the drawing of legislative districts in the hands of any political party, Republican or Democrat. It was approved overwhelmingly by we the people. It was Democrats, it was Republicans, it was independents, it was people who, for the most part, don't vote every election. But everybody agreed we do not want partisan line drawing folks. We want nonpartisan. We don't want legislators choosing their own districts, drawing their own districts. And now the Virginia Democrats come back and say, well, tough. Screw you, the people. We don't give a damn about what the people of Virginia have asked for. We're going to play games. We're going to do everything we can to slice and dice Virginia into a one-party state. As it is now, we have 11 members of Congress. We have 6 Democrats. We have 5 Republicans. I'm here to tell you that if, in fact, Virginia Democrats get their way, that would move to a 9-2 situation, at best. I want you to take a look at the other Commonwealth that I used to live in. I called the Commonwealth of Massachusetts home for a decade plus. 40% of the population of Massachusetts in every election votes for a Republican. You would have no idea, would you? Of course not. You know why? There are no Republican members of Congress. Why? Because the partisan Massachusetts Democrats drew those districts and continue to draw those districts in such a way that Republicans cannot win an election. Think about that. 40% of Massachusetts residents every single solitary election vote for Republicans. And there has not been a Republican member of the Massachusetts congressional delegation for as long as I can remember. Why? Because they're partisans. Those partisans in Massachusetts continually draw those districts in such a way that only Democrats can win. And that's on full display throughout New England. You know, there used to be a thing called a New England Democrat, right? No, there was a thing called a New England Republican. Exactly. And New England Republicans, generally speaking, were socially liberal and fiscally conservative. It was a thing. It was a very real thing. And there were lots of New England Republicans. And they were successful in all of the New England states. With one exception, that being New Hampshire. New Hampshire was rock solid conservative Republican for a long time. I know, you didn't know that. Now, New Hampshire has been ruined by a whole slew of people moving in from Massachusetts. That's what's happened there. But New England Republicans, and now there's no such thing. You take a look around. Tell me. Tell me about the number of Republican U.S. senators from New England. Tell me about the number of Republican members of Congress from New England. Tell me, in fact, about the representation in their state houses and state senates. It's the same thing. And again, it is because of Democrats in New England drawing districts in such a way that Republicans, for the most part, cannot be elected. And again and again and again, I'm going to refer you to Massachusetts because I lived it for years and years and years and years. 40% of Massachusetts residents vote for a Republican every year. And there are no Republicans. Now, I don't want that in Virginia. I like the idea that fundamentally each and every district is pretty competitive. And if you have a really good candidate and you got a really good message, you probably have a chance of being successful. That's what I'd like to see continue. I really would. It just pains me to think that you and I voted to establish this very process. This very process. And now Virginia Democrats are so devoid of honor and respect and dignity and virtue that they're trying to do this. But wait, there's more, as Ron Popeil might say. They've called the special session, and you know what that means, don't you? Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, who is in the home stretch, the last few days of running for governor, and she continues to close in on Abigail Spanberger. The numbers separating them continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and so the Virginia Democrats pull a trick out of their hat. No, out of their hat. And say, well, we're going to have a special session. Now, Lieutenant Governor Sears, as the presiding officer of the state Senate, has to return to Richmond and preside over the state Senate and not be out on the campaign trail. It is simply wrong. Now, there used to be something called the Virginia Way. And I don't know that we have the Virginia Way anymore. I don't. And Virginia Democrats are doing everything they possibly can to completely and totally erase it. I really do wish this weren't a big partisan issue. But you know what? It's a big partisan issue. And that's exactly what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. There is nothing else that can describe this. And it's sad. It is really, really sad. And it's a threat. You make no mistake. It is a very real threat. I'll tell you that, at least in theory, Ghazala Hashmi will be at the state Senate, right? Right? She'll be there. She's a member of the Senate. And I do wonder if her campaign will even notice that she's not out there campaigning. Will anybody even notice that she's not out there campaigning? Because she hasn't done any campaigning in the first place. So no great loss there. In fact, we might actually see more of Ghazala Hashmi now that she's going to be forced to come out of her basement in whichever house she lives in. Because remember, she can't quite figure out where she lives. Is it Chesterfield? Is it Richmond? Is it Henrico? Is it, I don't know, California, New York, Maryland, Mars? I mean, we don't know. But we might actually see her somewhere now. It'd be crazy to think that. It is simply wrong. And it is an effort to rob people of their rights. And it's so disappointing. God, it is so disappointing. I don't want you to get depressed. Now, this is a weird thing. This is the weird thing. I know you're thinking, well, Jeff, man, you're really bumming me out. I know. But we need to be bummed out right about now about what they're doing. And then we have to use that and motivate us to get out and vote and convince even more people to go out and vote. And then convince those people to convince even more people there is a Democrat victory. We will become California, New York, Maryland. That's where we're headed. And if that happens, then a lot of us are going to think very seriously about leaving. I'm not trying to scare anybody or say anything uncomfortable. I'm just telling you the truth, flat out. Businesses are going to leave. Businesses already have plans in place to combat the craziness that could happen with a Spamburger Democrat situation. It is 3:16, Jeff Katz, Newsroom. Well, I've had to do it again. I've had to go and get some new belts. I decided, by the way, the belts I'm getting now simply don't have any holes in them because I got tired of cutting holes in them. And so it's like, forget it. So I've just got like mesh belts now and they can keep going around and around. Look, I've lost a lot of weight. I'm very happy about that. It all started. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon. Little chilly, man. This is where it's going to be. Just. Pretty much that simple, isn't it? Had the opportunity a little bit earlier today. I was over at New American Arms, 6017 West Broad Street. Now, I love New American Arms. That's no great shock, right? And oftentimes when I go to New American Arms, I'm picking something up. And, well, yeah, I did. But that's besides the point. I was there because two of my friends, who happen to be two great Americans, were over there. And they both texted me, said, hey, you're not going to guess who's here? And then somebody else said, hey, you're not going to guess where I am. Well, the guy who said, you're not going to guess who's here, just dropped by, my friend Tony Martin, who owns and operates New American Arms. And the guy who texted me and said, hey, you're not going to believe where I am, another great friend, John Reed. So they were over there discussing Second Amendment issues. I happened to be relatively close. I was down at a meeting in Scott's Addition. With you remember Louis Rogers, Capitol Square, that whole 1031 stuff? Man, he's just doing such amazing work in Scott's Addition. The construction down there is incredible. But anyway, I was down there chatting with him, and I said to both John Reed and Tony Martin, I said, yeah, well, give me like 10 minutes. I'll pop over to New American Arms. And that's what I did. So I had the chance to hang out with these great Americans talking about Second Amendment issues, talking about the importance of protecting the Second Amendment, but also talking about Tony Martin's free speech rights at New American Arms. You remember what happened, right? He put up a sign. Winston Sears, John Reed, Jason Miari. It's right there. It's on his property. It's facing Broad Street. And he got a threatening letter threatening all sorts of bad stuff would happen if he did not take that sign down. Why? Well, because it was supporting Republicans. Now, thankfully, he not only didn't find himself rather giving in to the nonsense and pulling that sign down. You know what he did? He put up more signs and they're bigger. So God bless Tony Martin. That's a tough guy right there. But he's also a believer in our constitutional rights, every single last one of them. And John Reed, as you know, is a passionate supporter of each and every one of those rights enshrined in the Bill of Rights. And we all acknowledge that they weren't given to us by the government. They were given to us by God. They just happen to be acknowledged, if you will, in the Bill of Rights. And I always remind people, if you look at the Bill of Rights, it's fundamentally a negative thing. It's telling the government, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can't trample on people's rights that were given to them by God. So, again, I just had a great time hanging out with those two guys, chatting a little bit about constitutional rights. John is going to be with us at 4:05. Looking forward to having him visit. He is at the state capitol. There's a press conference and a briefing on these underhanded tricks that Virginia Democrats are trying to implement right now to steal your rights and my rights. So John will be with us at 4:05, and we'll talk a little bit about that. First thing in the morning, I sure hope you are listening to my friend Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News, just doing an amazing job, continues to do a great job. And I am always so happy to listen to Rich. Now, in a couple of moments, I want to get to the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Oh, I got a pair of tickets I got to give you as well for Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, November the 12th at JPJ out in Charlottesville. We'll give those to you in the 4 o'clock hour. It is 327, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. .335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday. Oh, it is a chilly, chilly Monday. 60 degrees, yikes. This is about as warm as it's going to be, by the way, for a while. We got a lot of great stuff we are dealing with as we head through the afternoon. My friend John Reed's going to be along in about a half an hour. 4:05 is when we're looking to chat with John. He'll be fresh off an event that he is at as we speak up there at the Capitol as Democrats engaging in what can only be described as very, very underhanded, sneaky, sleazy sort of tricks, calling a special session for the next 5 days, which means that Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, who has been steadily closing the gap with CIA Abby, Abigail Spamberger, is pulled off the campaign trail. That is absolutely outrageous. But Virginia Democrats have shown very clearly they do not care about disenfranchising people. They clearly have no concern with the will of the people. Just a couple of years back, you and I voted to establish a bipartisan commission to draw these congressional lines, to draw those legislative lines. And now the Virginia Democrats have said, well, we don't really care. We don't care. We're gonna go back in and call this special session. We'll grab Winsome Sears off the campaign trail for 5 days. That's designed to hurt her and hurt Republicans in a big way. And then, since we can't beat folks like Rob Whitman or Jen Kiggins at the ballot box, well, we're just going to eliminate their districts. That's all. It's absolutely disgusting. It really is. It's just absolutely disgusting. But, you know, this is frankly what defines the Virginia Democrat Party in the year 2025. God, I wish that weren't true. But it is. It is. Quick reminder, the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Taking a look at a couple of texts coming in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 434 says, hey, Jeff, the Democrats are running scared. It makes no common sense what they're doing, but that's the Democrat Party. Look at Tiny Tim Kaine. Yeah, well, I guess so. Bill in Henrico, Bill P. says, Jeff, for those holeless belts, check out Grip 6. I have several of them, and I like them. Okay, I will take a look at that. I'm happy to say that I found some Tommy Bahama belts. I am a Tommy Bahama guy. I always have been. And I don't know, we're headed to Florida or Nevada or something at some point, then I'll be able to wear more Tommy Bahama, I think, year round. But I saw a couple of these sort of mesh belts. I guess that's the best way to describe them. And they have no holes, so they can just, you know, you keep cinching them up. And that's where I am. So I got a couple of those. And I should be good, but I've dropped, I don't know, it's like 66, 67 pounds in the last year. I'm very happy about it. Very happy about it. Good afternoon, Jeff. I am Chris from Newport News. Our congressional district used to have Republican representation in Congress by people like Herb Bateman and later Joanne Davis. It was then gerrymandered so that now the area is quote-unquote represented by Bobby Scott. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a pillar of political principle right there, Bobby Scott. Many voters in this district have been disenfranchised for years. If the Democrats in the General Assembly succeed in their current redistricting efforts, the rest of the state will become the same as Newport News, leaving many voters disenfranchised. I personally am beginning to think that West Virginia may be a better option. I don't know. West Virginia's cold. Right. My next stop is going to be warm. All the time. Not warm a couple of months here, a couple of now, warm all the time. So that kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? It sure does. Would I ever go back to California? Not a chance. Not a chance. And it's a shame what's happened to California, man. It's just been ruined. If you want that to happen here, then, you know, as CIA Abby's your gal. But Florida, it's the land of my people and all, although Heidi's not big on Florida. She's just kind of been saying, I don't know about that. But we both agree we go back to Nevada. That would be nice. And, of course, Tel Aviv, I think, is still number one on Heidi's list. But that's going to require that this $700 million Mega Millions jackpot is won by me. Or Heidi. I mean, if one of us were to win it, then we could afford to go to Tel Aviv. Otherwise, forget about it. Pat from Richmond says, hey, Jeff, please explain to me how this is not election interference. Well, it is election interference, Pat. The Republicans are being pulled off the campaign trail and they can't raise money. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. 804 says, Jeff, well, at least Ghazala Hashmi has to come off the campaign trail as well, but she's been full basement mode, so not really any effect on her campaign. 804 says, Jeff, I don't see how any of this could even be legal. I would think that the attorney general could step in to stop this. If not the attorney general, then the state Supreme Court. Well, maybe. I don't know. Wow. Jeff, I have lived here in Virginia for the last 80 years. Well, good for you. That is great. This is a blind power grab by politicians by any means. It's happening right before our eyes. I have never been more fatalistic. Please, Emin Richmond says, cheer me up, Jeff. Well, I had to get new belts. I know. Isn't that terrible? That's the best I can give you in terms of cheering you up. It's cheered me up. Ann from RVA says, hey, Jeff, good afternoon. It's very hard to watch Virginia continue down this awful path, knowing apart from the voting, which I have already done, there's nothing we can do about it. It is disgusting. And I don't know any other way to describe it. E. Tucker down in Chesterfield says, Jeff, the Dems have also timed this so that as many people as possible will have cast their delegates' votes, not even knowing that this matter will come up for the second vote before this newly elected body. Oh, yeah. It's always interesting to me. I've got friends who say, you know, Jeff, the Democrats, they're dumb. They're stupid. It's like, oh, no, they're not. Now, they might be evil and they might be sneaky and they could be sleazy, but dumb they ain't. They are absolutely not dumb. They're really smart. Smart in the wrong direction, but they're really smart. Scott Bessent, you know who he is, right? He's the, the Secretary of Treasury. He's the one who's keeping everything together and making sure that America is profitable again and we're bringing business in and all that other good stuff. Well, he appeared on that show with that lady. How's that for a description? Which one is it, Germ? Is that Meet the Depressed over on MSNBC or NBC? I don't know, whatever it is. It's that Kristen Welker. I don't know why she's there, because it appears to me she never really ever actually has a good day. So she went up against Scott Bessent, Suffice to say, it didn't go all that well for Ms. Welker. Cut number one, please.
We're now in the second longest shutdown in U.S. history. When will President Trump meet with Democrats to try to bring this shutdown to a close and get federal workers their paychecks back again, Mr. Secretary?
Well, Chris, I'm going to have to reject the premise of your question. Why does President Trump have to meet with Democrats? Democrats just need to go into the Senate and vote to end the shutdown.
He said that in the past. He said you have to be a leader. The president has to lead. You have to get people into a room. Well, you have to get a deal. When's he going to do that?
Well, he is leading, and there's no deal to do with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is trading off his polls. What's different than when he passed a clean CR in the spring? It's his polls. You know, the whole country's being held captive to AOC's polls. But let's look at the numbers. It's 52-3. 52 Republicans have voted, I believe it's 11 times, to reopen the government. 3 Democrats have. And right here, right now, I would urge moderate Democratic senators to come across the aisle, reopen the government, because I'll tell you, we're starting to eat into muscle here. This is starting to affect travel. It's starting to affect the economy. And, you know, this is quixotic. I don't know what the purpose is. I'm not sure they do.
Yeah. Is she running for office, that Kristen Welker? Because she'd be a good candidate. Well, for the Democrats, she'd be a good candidate, right? She checks all of the right boxes, and for them, everything is a box-checking game. Yeah, she'd be good here, good there, good there. Didn't sound to me like she knew what the hell she was talking about, but that would be par for the course. It is 3:45. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.350 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday. 434 hits me up over there on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, the Democrats are dumb like a fox. Yeah, I agree with you. 804 in Midlothian says, Jeff, Ghazala Hashmi technically is not in basement mode. She lives in my neighborhood and we don't have basements.
All right.
I don't know what the f*** they're doing.
All right, well, maybe it's an attic. I mean, yeah, but you get my point. There you go. What am I, an architect? Come on now. 804 says, Jeff, even Howard Gutman on his show says that he cannot stand the communist anti-Semite New Democrats, but he hates Trump so much that he's still with the Democrats. Well, Howard is a putz in that regard, and I love Howard. But honest to God, if you cannot put aside your own personal contempt for President Trump, that you are willing to stand with out-and-out communists, you're willing to stand with people who hate Jews, then there's something wrong with you. Now, I didn't hear Howard say it. You know, Howard's show is, it's an hour on Saturday, right? The Howard Gutman Vanity Hour. But I guess that's the case. I can believe it, sadly. Except that I really do love Howard. He's a sweetheart. He's wrong on damn near everything, but he really is a sweetheart. As opposed to some people who are just wrong on everything, and then they're jerks on top of it, and you go, yeah, well, you know, I probably never have to see you again, and that'll be good. Howard, you think, oh, I like Howard. And get together. You don't have to talk about politics. Talk about anything but politics is the way that my relationship with Howard works, by the way. Anything but politics. And we're happy. We're happy. But I certainly can't stand with the Democrats anymore. I spent the bulk of my life as a Democrat. And I grew up in a neighborhood. We didn't even know what a Republican was, for God's sakes. So I'm definitely not, quote, anti-Democrat or anti-union. That's the other one that always kills me. My dad was a member of the National Treasury Employees Union. He was a leader at one point, if I recall correctly. I was a union member. I was a member of a couple of different unions. But, you know, a lot of this stuff has just outlived its usefulness. And I certainly am not going to stand with a political party that hates me, right? Why would I? So I don't know why Howard does that. Is his loyalty to that party writ large so powerful? I hate to think so, but maybe, you know, maybe that's what it is. At some point, you just have to say, I got to look at a few other things, right? I've just got to look at a few other things. Terms of political affiliation. And maybe you're not happy with President Trump. Okay. I don't quite get that, but okay, let's say you're not. Would you rather continue to support people who, like you, dislike President Trump and they hate you, or would you rather be with people who are very happy that you are who you are, wish you well, hope that you're happy and successful and healthy, and at the same time, they support President Trump? For the first time in months, one of the trade radio publications that I get newsletters from, you know, it's like a once a week a newsletter thing comes out. And there's one guy there I've known for, I don't know, 30 years. Probably. He's been in talk radio as long as I was. Now, he's retired at this point, but every column for the last 5 months has been him trashing Trump. And I thought, well, I don't even need to read his column anymore. There's nothing about radio at this point. And I don't know why. Today was the day his column came out, and it actually, host of Richmond's Morning News. I am talking, of course, about Rich Herrera. And at 4:05, the former host of Richmond's Morning News, the nominee for Lieutenant Governor John Reed, will be here. It is 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Monday, wee bit chilly. I told you that I had a great visit over to see my friend Tony Martin at New American Arms, 6017 West Broad Street in the West End. Yes, I was doing a little shopping, as I normally do at New American Arms, but also had the opportunity to engage in a very important conversation, Second Amendment issues, First Amendment issues, with another dear friend of mine, our Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor, John Reed. And I'm happy to say John is joining us. There was just an update at the state capitol on some of the underhanded shenanigans Virginia Democrats are engaged in. And John is joining us to bring us details on that. John, good afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. I was glad to see you, but it was important that I hustle over to the Capitol because, you know, you give people authority and you have to trust that they're going to use that power appropriately. And the Democrats are exhibiting once again that you can't trust these people. We just passed a full-on constitutional amendment. I mean, it wasn't even close. It was 2-1 all across the state. People said they wanted to take the petty partisanship out, not have the politicians drawing their own lines. And here it's been less than 5 years, and the Democrats are already trying to overturn the will of the people. I mean, that stinks. That's wrong. And I had to go speak out against it.
Tell me about the implications for your running mate, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, this special session.
Well, that's one of the reasons I think they're doing this 8 days before the election is, you know, Winsome, she respects her obligation as the president of the Senate, as the sitting lieutenant governor. She's supposed to be in that building whenever the Senate is convened. So she is making a difficult choice to honor her obligation as the presiding officer of the Senate, which takes her off the campaign trail. Now, tell me, you come on, let's all be honest with each other. They did this deliberately to yank her off the campaign trail, and they did this whole thing right now because they're seeing the same polls that I am with the race tightening so close. They thought they were going to walk away with this and just buy the election with all this out-of-state money, and that ain't happening, and so now they're going to rig it. And I really think voters should be mad about it.
Well, absolutely. Voters should be livid about this, that 8 days before the election, the Virginia Democrats are doing this. The will of the people, as you mentioned, about 5 years ago, you and I and then the rest of our Virginians went and voted. It was a 2-1 margin, as you point out, to take the politics out of this. What is it that the Democrats are saying? How on earth, with anything resembling a straight face, can they make the argument that this is a good thing or the right thing to do?
Well, what they're saying is that other states are gerrymandering. Well, you know, big surprise, people have been gerrymandering for centuries, okay? So I acknowledge that that has happened, will happen, is happening. Virginia fixed it. We did what we've been begging other states to do, which is put in a constitutional amendment, take the politics out of it as much as possible, and have it be settled. But now the Democrats, because they are looking for an excuse to overturn that, have decided that they're going to come into session and meddle with it. And, you know, one of the things I tell people is if you are not aware of American history, we have 50 states for a reason. They have different legislatures. They have different laws for a reason, because those people and those laws are supposed to reflect the will of the people who live in that state. I mean, I don't want to live in California. I could have, but I don't want to, and I'm not interested in emulating the bad decisions of California. I want Virginia to be just and fair, and that's what we did, and now the Democrats are going to mess all of that up very deliberately.
Wow. It is tragic. John Reed is joining us, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor, just coming from a briefing at the state capitol talking about the inexcusable, despicable behavior on the part of the Virginia Democrats to undermine the will of Virginia voters. We voted for this constitutional amendment. We wanted to take the politics out of it. John, I shared with listeners a little bit earlier, probably while you and Lieutenant Governor Sears were addressing the issue at the Capitol, that I came from another Commonwealth. I came from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And what people don't know, because it has been so gerrymandered up there by extremist Democrats for years, 40% of people in Massachusetts every single year vote for Republicans. And there are no Republicans and have been no Republicans serving in any congressional seat for, frankly, as long as I can remember. That's just not the Virginia way. It's not what we want here.
Yeah. And you talk about that kind of deceit where you disenfranchise 40% of the people in your state. Think about the great congresspeople who are very careful to represent everybody. Like Rob Whitman, who is our congressman, right? Jen Kiggins down at the beach, the former military pilot who is now a congresswoman. I mean, we've got some amazing Republicans who are very thoughtful and careful in the way they represent the people of their districts. And I'm telling you, the Democrats want to fire those people and mark them out of their own district and leave people like you and me and probably most of the people in this audience completely disenfranchised with no one to represent them in Washington. That is wrong. And if you haven't been motivated to go vote this election with all the other stuff that's happened, from the Charlie Kirk assassination to Jay Jones saying he'd like to kill you and your kids maybe to make a political point, then maybe this will finally be there. I mean, if they don't kill you, they'll make sure that you don't have representation. And I think that should alarm everybody who's decent in this state.
It absolutely should, John. The other part of this, think about it, 400, I think, vetoes that Governor Youngkin had to issue during his 4 years in office. And if there were to be a Governor Spamberger and Democrats in control of the House of Delegates and the state Senate, my gosh, it would just be full steam ahead with turning Virginia into Maryland or New York or California. It'd be awful.
You and I both were on the radio in 2020 when they had the governor's mansion, the House, and the Senate. And did you see them pause and think, oh, well, let's not do this. This is a step too far. No, they took it as far as they possibly could, changing the election laws, letting criminals out of jail. And now we got 53 people who've been murdered by those people they let out early. We warned them, don't do this. You know, this is dangerous. Now, 53 innocent Virginians have been murdered by those people they let out early. They raised taxes. I mean, the list goes on and on about bad decisions that were made with this kind of, I really never seen anything like it, this kind of arrogance in power. And you don't want arrogant people in power. You want confident people, thoughtful people, but, you know, somebody who will stop and say, am I being honest and fair here? Or am I using this power to help myself? And if the answer is you're using it to help yourself, you stop yourself. And I just don't think that's who is at the Capitol right now. And that's why, honestly, Jeff, that's why I quit the radio station to run, because I felt like I would do a better job of being self-reflective and thoughtful and fair with people than some of the other folks at the Capitol.
Yeah. Tell us about the role of Lieutenant Governor in a situation like this. We have such a tight margin in the state Senate, right? 21-19. So the Lieutenant Governor on a pretty regular basis can be called into being the tie-breaking vote.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because some of the D.C. snobs, and I hate to call them that, but that's what they've turned out to be, have said, oh, no, John, we don't want to have anything to do with, you know, Virginia, and especially your race. It's really meaningless. And I said, guys, 40 seats, 21-19, the most controversial decisions that will be made in the coming 2 years at least will be made by whoever gets to be lieutenant governor. Somebody like me, who's a native Virginian, who's followed this stuff for decades, who's been involved in it, who cares about the people of Virginia, or conversely, you could have Ghazala Hashmi, who's not a native Virginian, who knows how she wound up in the Senate. She has pushed all of the bad ideas in public education. She's for the radical trans agenda. She's hiked the taxes. She's the one that kept the schools closed for an extra year, along with Ralph Northam. I mean, everything that we would identify as a bad decision, Ghazala Hashmi has been leading it. So, you know, it's up to everybody in D.C. and in Virginia. Which person do you want? The business guy who also has been in public? I mean, there's nobody who doesn't know where I stand on things. I'm the most transparent candidate in the history of Virginia after 8 years on WRVA, plus, you know, my television career, and I'm pretty blunt with folks. Or you can have this woman who is so secretive, she refuses to even have one debate and actually answer questions from the reporters. I mean, what do you want up there?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? What is it that we want? And I mean, I know what I want. I know that I want this beautiful, beautiful Commonwealth of ours to move forward and be safe and secure. And as Governor Youngkin has said for a long, long time, be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. John, I know you don't always mention it, but I'm going to mention it. John Reed for Virginia. JohnReedForVirginia.com is the website. 8 days out. Can people help out this late in the campaign, or is it all done but for the voting on Tuesday?
Oh, there is a lot of work to be done. You know, if you've got a yard sign, please make sure it's out. If you have time between now and Election Day, I know in Henrico and Chesterfield and Hanover, they're looking for volunteers to be at the polls. You know, you don't have to debate anything with anybody. Just hand out the sample ballots. And of course, if you if that's not your speed, I understand. You know, it takes a little bit to go talk to people at the polling place. But what you could do is send out an email to your top 10 friends, the people you play pickleball with or golf with or, you know, go to church or synagogue with, you know, the people that you know in the neighborhood who you get along with, and say, hey, you know, Forgive me, I hope I'm not overstepping, but here are the people I'm voting for. Please come with me and vote, because there's a lot on the line here, and I don't think I'm overstating it. You know, if we lose the right to work, which prevents you from being forced into a union and is the number one reason that businesses relocate to Virginia, if we wind up with a $20 or $25 an hour minimum wage, if we will see the economic ecosystem of this state change dramatically, and that's going to be bad for you and me. It's going to be bad for our kids and grandkids. We can't afford to let that happen.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. It is, as always, a pleasure to have on the program. It was great to see you over with Tony Martin at New American Arms. You and he had some great points of discussion there about the Second Amendment. You, I know, have been a big, big defender of, supporter of Second Amendment rights, and those of us who exercise them, those are on the line as well, aren't they?
You got it. I mean, look, I get asked by all these reporters who think they're going to catch me on a 2A issue, and I'm like, don't even talk to me about changing the gun laws in Virginia until you start locking up the people who have used guns to commit violent crime. You know, so many of these prosecutors are refusing to be tough on the people who've harmed innocent citizens. And until you're prepared to do that, I don't want to hear one word about restricting my rights. I want you to go after the people who've already demonstrated that they're hostile. And, you know, that usually shuts them up. And it should, because it's common sense.
Absolutely. Well, John, again, I appreciate you being here. It was great seeing you earlier today. John Reed for Virginia.com. John Reed for Virginia.com. 8 days left to go. Go get them. We will talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. I always appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is John Reed. So, yeah, he's a dear friend. He's also the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. And it is, again, it's a sad day in Virginia right now, as Virginia Democrats have placed pure, crass partisanship above the will of the people. It's an ugly, ugly moment in Virginia. And you can thank the Virginia Democrats for it. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. We sit down, we go over numbers. Jeff, here's how much you've made, here's how much we've grown stuff, and you are or are not doing pretty well. In this case, it was like, hey, really good movement. Now, let's talk about when you're dead. It's like, oh, right, great. Just suck all the oxygen right out of the room. But it's part of what goes into financial planning. And you got to do it. Carl is with us. And Carl, I always appreciate you being here.
To be here with you, Jeff. Well, that sounds, I'm not sure how I would think about it if you were excited about the when you're dead conversation. I mean, it can be good.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said it was good.
Yes. Yes.
You remember him from back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he in one of those famous books?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like a bestseller at one point, as memory serves. And a pretty cool author, I think, you know, well-regarded. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of do remember him.
I think he might have been a New York Times bestseller.
Might have been. Might have been. Begrudgingly a New York Times bestseller, I'll bet you. But let's not kid ourselves. That is part of our conversation, right? I mean, financial planning is it's the deep dive, the heavy lift, right?
And that is even more important for you than a lot of people because of Julia.
Yep.
Got to make sure there's something there and that something doesn't happen that messes things up. Has to be nice, clean, organized, and good.
Well, that's certainly our case, and I brag about you and the team at Carlson Financial all the time. You know, going in there with essentially a shoebox full of napkins with numbers written on them, going, "There you go, get your magic wand out and make something happen." And you stepping up to the plate to help us long term, which, all kidding aside, is about Julia first and foremost. Lots of folks don't have that situation. They're just folks who are getting closer to retirement. For them, Carl, what's the first thing you think they ought to consider their focus on?
I think the biggest key is having a solid financial plan, but mm-hmm. to most people. Really, what is that? Probably a lot of financial advisors might have a struggle telling you what that is. So I'm going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
And it's all of us have five key areas that we need to take care of financially. Mm-hmm. And that's our income, our investments, our insurances, our income taxes, and the inheritance / estate plan. And so a financial plan needs to look at all five of those things comprehensively and make sure they're all working well and working well together and getting better every year. And having all that puts you in a position where you can say, I have a financial plan. I know where I'm at with all five of those things. I know where we're going. And I know that it's going to continue to get better as we go down the road because we're always looking to improve it. Key number one of the financial plan is, I believe, is your investments. It's different at different times in different people's lives. So, you know, when you're just starting your first job, you don't even have investments.
Right.
But maybe your parents or grandparents gave you something. And if you get the investments right and you do that over time with the power of compounding, mm-hmm. it can make a huge difference in all five of those areas. So investments, the most important, and I think, you know, right now, your investments are up very, very well.
Yep.
And people might look at that and say, yeah, but the stock market's up too. So mm-hmm. everybody should be doing good. And I would say, well, you have to understand what is good and what is great. Because just to say, yeah, everybody's doing well because the market is up. No, some people are doing okay, maybe mm-hmm. good, mm-hmm. and you're doing great. And there's a massive difference between those two words.
And so people need to,
number one, get their investments right. That's central to your financial plan.
Yep.
And if you get that right, everything else starts to fall together and gives you wonderful opportunities into the future.
Carl, does the retirement planning, and again, we use the term retirement because that's how most of us think, oh, at age 62, I can stop working at a job, right? I can officially retire. But if I wait till I'm 63 or 65 or 67 or 109 or whatever the new age is, then I will get more from Social Security. But the reality, I like to talk about financial freedom or financial independence, where, you know, my hope is for my sons, hey, I want them to be 40 and say, yeah, I'm going to go sit on the beach and do something because I'm financially independent. Is it different? I mean, the whole retirement planning, is it different for somebody who already has a lot of money? Is it a different way to plan?
I think it's a fairly new term in a lot of our vocabulary. It hasn't been around that long, the word retirement.
Right.
And I certainly don't want people to think they're also going to mentally and physically retire.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that some people work jobs that are physically demanding or very stressful.
Sure.
And that time comes when they just can't hardly do it anymore. But I would say if you retire, you should really refire and get excited about something else in your life and have those things in your future, and you'll live a much happier, longer life.
Right. So
that's more financial independence. I think you want to be financially independent as soon as you possibly can be, and then you can do more of the things that are uniquely satisfying to you. And if you want to give more and help more, wanted to go, maybe you want to go on mission trips. Well, you're not going to make any money doing that. But that's another type of satisfaction in doing the things you want to do. So getting there and having that financial plan in place, and I like financial plan better than retirement plan, but they both kind of can be used interchangeably.
Yeah. Now, that's a great point. Carl Carlson joining us for a couple of moments here. And October is actually financial planning month, so this is a good excuse, really, to get people to give you a shout at Carlson Financial. I also would be remiss if I didn't mention that here I thought I was special because there were occasions where I could have coffee with Carlson and I would brag to Heidi, oh, I'm going over to have coffee with Carl Carlson. Well, now it looks like there are a whole bunch of people that could have coffee with Carlson. What gives on that, Carl?
Yes. We're, I am actually starting a it's maybe about 3 minutes a day, every day, where I am talking about a financial topic and how they work together and telling some stories about what I've, and I use you for a lot of examples, Jeff, by the way, so people might enjoy the stories when I speak of you very specifically, but so it's, no, I don't do that, but it's 3 minutes, two to four minutes, depending on the length of the subject. And it's every day, and on Sunday, it's an update from the farm. So I also have a little farm, and so we shoot some videos of cows we're buying or barns we're building and things that are going, bringing in more chickens, and it's all organic and grass-fed and all that stuff. So that's for a little bit of fun on Sunday, but every other day, financial topics, and it's coffee and Carl. There you go.
Well, two of my favorite things, coffee and Carl Carlson. I love both of them.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's the best way, given that October is financial planning month, what's the best way for folks to reach out to you and the team at Carlson Financial?
Yeah, give us a call at 844-CARLSON, or you can reach out through our website at carlsonfinancial.com, and we can have one of our advisors get something on the calendar to begin or improve your financial plan.
You are the best. I appreciate it, my friend. That is Carl Carlson, and yes, he is my financial advisor. We've got a whole team over there. We got like three people on the Jeff Katz matter, and that's not just because I don't get numbers. No, it's because they're each experts in this part, in that part, and then Carl's over everything going, all right, I like this. We're going to move that over there. It's a beautiful relationship. Let me just say that, and Carl has done everything that we hoped he would do and more. So 844-CARLSON. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 452, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. I should point out that John Reed, after leaving New American Arms, we were discussing with Tony Martin some of the Second Amendment issues, headed right down to Chesterfield. And he was down there meeting with Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard, two great American men right there, I'll tell you that. And he was touring the HARP program. You know, Carl Leonard has been out in front on all of these things, designed, quite frankly, to make sure that folks who come to jail don't come back to jail. I have discovered that that is, frankly, what every good jail staff member once. They don't want anybody coming back. They don't want repeat customers. Last thing they want. I've seen that at Pamunkey so many times. Hey, I've got a pair of tickets. I'd love to give them to you. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson is coming to John Paul Jones Arena, JPJ, out in Charlottesville. Going to be there on November the 12th. So why don't we do this? Jerm, if you're ready to answer a few calls, how about caller number 12 right now? 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Caller number 12, you will get a pair of tickets to go and see Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, November the 12th at John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville. We have a very special guest, and it has absolutely, positively nothing to do with politics or issues, or frankly, it's a guest that reminds me that there's life away from some of this nonsense. that we have to deal with. No, no, no. Every once in a while, you just got to find yourself a really good book, right? Just get lost in a book. Nelson DeMille used to write those sorts of books, and I absolutely loved his books. And I cannot tell you how thrilled I was when Nelson would come on the show. And, you know, he passed away. But he had started a project with his son, Alex. And the last time that Nelson was on the show, it was a very special experience. I didn't realize it was the last time I would ever get a chance to chat with Nelson DeMille. But it was also the first time that I had a chance to chat with his son, Alex. Well, they authored the book together. Nelson passed away, but Alex continued the book, finished the book, and Alex is going to be with us at 5:35. I am really very, very excited to listen to that. It is 4:56. I apologize, 4:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Five 23, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, a Monday evening, and daylight savings time coming to an end very, very soon, right? Sunset, what, in the 5 o'clock hour, yikes. I thought we were making progress on having a year-round daylight savings time. Just stop changing already. I know there are people that don't like it because it's dark in the morning, but let me say this from the bottom of my heart. I don't care. And the reason I don't care is that I enjoy the light in the evening when I can utilize it. Right? It's perfect for sitting on the deck. And ultimately, isn't that really all of our goals? Just to sit on the deck. Well, anyway, it is going to come to an end the next couple of days. It was Sunday, I guess, right? 2 o'clock Sunday morning. Do your kids have any idea how to change the clocks? Because I don't think they need to do it anymore, right? You remember when we had to go around and every clock had to be changed manually? And now, given that everything is connected to something else, I don't think my kids would have any idea. Seriously, I don't think the boys would have any clue how to change the clock. They know that the time changes with this daylight savings time thing, but actually moving hands on a clock or even resetting a digital clock. We used to have to do that. Watches. My watch now, I got a smartwatch, as you know. And my smartwatch, not that it's a huge accomplishment, but it's far smarter than I am. And it does everything. Really, I'm looking at it do stuff right now. And one of the things I don't like about my watch is it tells me, oh, look, it's time to move. Oh, you should get up and walk. Oh, it's like, you know, now you just need to mind your own damn business. You're just a watch. 5:35, we've got Alex DeMille joining us. And I'm really looking forward to him, although I am not looking forward to the fact that it's just going to be Alex and not his dad, Nelson. We'll talk about it, but the book that Alex finished, of course, he started it with his dad. His dad passed away, the legendary Nelson DeMille. Last time they were on, they were writing it, and now Alex is here to talk about the finished product. We'll talk about it at 5:35. It is 5:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday evening. I remind you, daylight saving time is coming to an end. So we'd be in the dark. Chilly weather says to me, I need something to read. Warm weather says to me, I need something to read. What I found throughout the years was a great love for the works of Nelson DeMille. You know this because I've talked about it for years. And a number of years ago, somehow, some way, we were able to convince Nelson to come on this program and just spend some time. And to me, I was like a little kid. I thought that was great. And he kept coming back and coming back. And it was fantastic. Last time, and it's been a while, last time that he visited here, he was here with his son, Alex. And they were working on a project together. And as you know, Nelson passed away. And Alex apparently continued the book, finished the book. I want to hear all about this. Alex is joining us. Alex DeMille. Alex, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled to hear your voice. I am saddened not to hear your dad's voice. I was just a tremendous fan. I don't want to say admirer. That sounds too fancy. I was a fan. I loved that work. But last time the two of you were here, now you have picked up the mantle and finished the book all on your own. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a challenging experience. He got sick in late 2023.
Right.
And he was supposed to be writing his own book, his solo book. So that got shelved, obviously. So we decided I would start, this other planned book we had instead. And so he and I, fortunately, had already done some of the groundwork. We'd kind of come up with a pitch together and a proposal. But the publisher had already accepted. So I kind of had a blueprint to get started on. But yeah, it was, he went through a whole thing with, he had esophageal cancer. He started chemo. He was in the hospital for a while, and I was just kind of, focused half on that and half on writing. And part of me thought, I shouldn't be, I just want to have all my time with him. But it was, in a way, I was finishing the work that he and I started, so it felt like appropriate. And certainly it's what he wanted to happen anyway. So,
yeah.
But it was a tough year, I'll say that.
I can only begin to imagine. I know what it's like to lose a dad. I don't know what it's like to lose a dad that you were working on this book with. And it just it's amazing to me that you said, okay, well, I'm going to finish. I have to imagine. You tell us, but you're finishing the book, writing the book. It has to be in many ways a tribute to your dad.
Yeah, it did feel that way. It definitely felt that way. And I was sending him pages, and I remember thinking to myself, I didn't want to send him anything. I want him to focus on. And we were all optimistic,
Sure.
We had a lot of reasons not to be, given his age and the diagnosis, but we were anyway. And so I kind of wanted him to just rest and focus. But I did realize that it was good for him to have this, mm-hmm. to focus on. And at the same time, the man was a perfectionist to the end. So he wouldn't actually read anything I gave him unless he was having a really good day. So it was hardening when I would get notes back from him, and you wouldn't know this was a guy going through chemo. He was as sharp as ever, but unfortunately those good weeks, started to dwindle.
Sure.
So I began to continue the book knowing he might never read what I was writing. And then of course, when he passed away, there was still a significant chunk of the book left. Mm-hmm. And, when that happened, it was hard. I kind of almost had more license to have his voice in my head, which it's always there anyway. We're co-writing. I was never trying to parrot his voice, but he's my dad. I grew up with him. So it's there anyway, yeah. Whether you like it or not. But
That's right.
After he passed away, it really almost became amplified. And I almost had this dialogue, with this imagined version of him and this imagined reader, this imagined co-writer, this imagined editor.
Yeah.
So it became a different process for me.
Wow.
Before ever sending it to my actual editor, it was really this kind of thing going on in my head with him.
Well, I tell you, Alex, you know, your dad, as you know, has been on this program many, many times, and he was very clear. He thought you were a damn good writer, and I just have to imagine that he is thrilled that you have literally picked up the pen or put pen to paper and continue this. So tell me a little bit about the book. Are these characters we're going to recognize? Is it a brand new adventure?
It's a brand new adventure with recurring characters, male-female Army CID team. So CID, yep, for anybody who doesn't know, they're basically the detective branch of the Army. So any crimes that involve investigation would kind of fall on them, especially, you know, high-profile major crimes. So Scott Brody, Maggie Taylor, and the first book, The Deserter, it was kind of a manhunt story taking place in Venezuela. The second book, Bloodlines, it was a murder mystery set in Berlin. And for this one, they're sent to a remote, secretive army camp, fictional camp that I made up called Camp Hayden in the Mojave Desert, to investigate a murder of a scientist. Well, whether it's called a murder is itself a question, because he was killed by what they're calling a lethal autonomous weapon. And it becomes a big question of, if this thing is autonomous, did it choose to do this to him, or was it programmed, or was it sabotaged, or, you know, so you get into the whole things about AI and robotics and stuff like that. But it's a standalone adventure. You don't have to have read the other two. Okay. But if you did read the other two, this, you know, we kind of developed their character and their relationship from what had happened in the first two books.
Yeah. Well, now, Alex DeMille, I will remind you, you're speaking to Jeff Katz. Of course I read the other two, and I'm looking forward to reading this one. But are you casting aspersions on our future robot overlords that they might be capable of taking us out at a moment's notice?
It might be risky of me to be doing that.
They could be your next set of editors, sir.
Oh, my God. To me, it's easy to... You don't want to overstate the case about how dangerous this stuff is. I also kind of feel like it's impossible to overstate the case. And things are progressing so fast. And we see it in banal ways, right? In our lives, we see it when we use Google.
Yep.
Or for me, I've started getting all these emails from people who want to be my, market my book and sell their services to me. And they're all written by AI. It's very obvious to me. So I'm getting this barrage of AI bothering me all the time now.
Yeah. Do you think there's a threat to, maybe not you, maybe not me, we grew up with great writers, some of us, like you, are great writers, but our kids, our grandkids, who are going to be raised on AI-written stuff, are they going to know the difference?
I have to believe that they will. I have to believe. When the whole image generation thing started, I said, thank God this thing doesn't even know how to make a human hand. Like, every hand had like 8 fingers. But then that got better, you know. So every time AI gets better, I get a little sad about it. But I have to believe that it's just based upon, you know, I'm no expert, but just based upon how I understand that they work, that it works.
Yep.
It's predictive, right? It predicts, and it has a word, and it has a whole model to predict what the next word should be. And that's all just based upon sucking up all this information and sucking up art. So it's inherently derivative. It's not reasoning. It might pretend, it might have an illusion of reasoning, but it's not. Maybe that will be a whole other thing that happens. I have no idea, but I have to believe that we'll know. I also have to believe that there's a value in people appreciating and taking an art that they know is also created by other people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Is this now the end for Alex DeMille? You have finished this book that you started with your dad, or are you all in and saying, I'm moving forward, I'm going to write more?
I'm having fun. I would like to keep going with it. I honestly enjoy the process, despite and really the having the writing this book in this terrible year I had, it kind of made me appreciate how much I actually enjoy writing. It was kind of almost a shelter from the grief a little bit. I like it. I have a proposal for another, not this series, but a new character, new thriller, that my agents are shopping around as we speak.
Oh, wow. I love that. Alex DeMille is joining us. So, Alex, some of my favorite authors have been on this program throughout the years. Your dad obviously told me about his process. Brad Thor is another guy who is here on a pretty regular basis and says he approaches it like anybody would approach a job. At such and such a time, I sit down in front of the computer and I write until such and such a time. What's your process?
I have kind of two different processes depending on what's going on in my life. But I have the kind of 9-to-5 process where I go to the same place all the time. I have like a workspace in my neighborhood here that I go to. And I'll kind of start in the morning and force myself to put in a certain number of hours, you know, because not every day is going to be a good day, but you kind of have to trudge along anyway, because you don't always know what day is going to be the good day until it comes around. So for me, it's putting in the time, and then also putting in the time of writing poorly. And understanding why you're writing poorly and then doing a better job of it and revising. But then my other process when I'm kind of under the gun is my in-laws have a second home in upstate New York. And it's been like an incredible refuge for me. So I'll go up there alone and just kind of lose my mind a little bit and be there alone for a week and start, you know, talking to myself and having a lot of fun. having intense, I'll start writing at like 2 p.m. and I'll finish at like 3 a.m. and then I'll sleep for a while. And the outside world just goes away. So that's kind of an amazing luxury, you know, that I have sometimes. So it's a balance between those two modes.
Wow. I love that. Well, Alex, tell us how we get the book.
It's everywhere as of tomorrow, Tuesday, October 28th. It'll be, you know, you can pre-order right now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any independent bookstore that has a web portal, or you can go into your bookstores tomorrow. It should be everywhere.
Okay. Well, we will get it up and share it. I hope you don't mind. I've shared all of your dad's books through the years on our Jeff Katz show book club page on the website. I'm going to put this in there as well. But I am going to ask you the same question I always ask your father, which is I have a shelf with signed books from people I appreciate and I enjoy. Would you mind signing one of the copies of this to me?
Oh, not at all. I'd be happy to do it. And I'll send it to you. And on that subject, anybody who buys a book can get a signed book plate from me and a bookmark. I have a web form up. It's if you go to my Instagram profile at Alex DeMille, and you look at my links, it'll be there. It's also on I posted on my Facebook page, Alex DeMille Author. So anybody who fills that out who's bought the book, I will mail a signed book plate to you. But I'll definitely sign and get you a copy.
I love it. Great, man. I'm going to put you back on hold. Jeremy's going to get you the information you need for that. That is Alex DeMille. Yes, he is Nelson DeMille's son. You and I love the work that Nelson did throughout the years. I cannot wait to read the new book from Alex and looking forward to all the stuff he does moving forward. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Was it my fault? There was a power outage. There was locusts. All right, listen, Jeff, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep and I stiffed you for coming on the show last week. I'm sorry. So let me repeat this one more time. Jeff Katz, I'm sorry. You're really smart. I'm rather dim-witted. You're really good looking. I'm not. I'm sorry I didn't make it. So I hope to come back on to the Jeff Katz show one.
Are no second chances, Herrera. What kind of slacker attitude is that? Oh my God. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm working hard all day. Blah, 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 blah. Come on, dude. Suck it up. What do you think, Germ? Can we find a space for Rich to hop on again? I think we probably can. Seriously. No, I think we can. No? All right. Well, I mean, not on me then. It's just Jeremy. I can't help you on that. Well, is the World Series thing still going on, Germ? You know, I'm not a baseball fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. And since the Red Sox are not playing, the hell do I care? Maybe that's the wrong. Is that the wrong attitude? I don't think so. I don't know. That was going to be my pretext to get Rich on. But yeah, we should probably find a slot because, you know, it seems like just about every week he's reaching out and saying, Jeff, would you come on my show? And because I am a professional and an all-around nice guy, I do that. Yes, we will absolutely make some space and get Rich on in the afternoon. I think that the Dodgers of Los Angeles, formerly the Dodgers of Brooklyn, are beating up on the Blue Jays of Toronto, and that's what caused the entire Canadian tariff skirmish. Isn't that crazy to think that President Trump was watching the World Series game, or a World Series game, and there was part of the feed, I guess, from Canada, where they had a television spot on, and they were misquoting, that's the kindest way of saying they were lying about something that President Reagan did or did not say. And President Trump said, well, you know what, then blank you and the maple leaf you rode in on. Just get, seriously, pick up all of your poutine and get out of here. We're not playing this game. And so then we were back to the whole tariff thing. I'm looking at the economy, by the way, and the economy's doing well. The market is doing well. I'm doing well. I'm very happy to say that. But that's more Carl Carlson than Jeff Katz. Jeff Katz is the recipient of Carl Carlson's talent. And long term, of course, it's Julia Katz who is the recipient of Carl Carlson's talent. And I really do appreciate that. But I'm also taking a look at the desperation now on the part of the Virginia Democrats. Is this enough to kind of cook the books? Because that's what they're trying to do here, just so we're all very clear. What the Virginia Democrats right now are doing is unprecedented. It is underhanded. It is just dirty and inexcusable to call this special session, and there is a big reason to it. First part of it is to get Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears off the campaign trail. Other part is to call delegates who should be out campaigning in districts, call them back into session so that they're not able to go out and campaign. There are huge restrictions now as a result of all of this on finances and raising money. It is dirty, it is underhanded, it is inexcusable, and again, it is unprecedented. Don't fall for it. You know what the right thing is to do to keep our beloved Commonwealth moving along properly. Tomorrow morning, if I'm awake, I'll be listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.